You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show with me, Martin Hindley, as we celebrate 25 years of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. In telling the stories of a quarter of a century of action, there's hardly anyone better to feature than today's guest, who has captured some of the most iconic images from all of it.
There will be no fifth Eurostar stitched into Leinster's jersey this season. It'll happen one day, but not today. Instead, it's a third win for Saracens. Saracens European champions.
A regular on the rugby circuit with a smile and a sense of humour as sharp as his camera, bringing into focus his experiences since 1995 in rugby's greatest club tournament today, is Dave Rogers from Getty Images. Dave, also celebrating a quarter of a century of Getty Images, so a perfect time to have a look back. Dave, thanks for joining us. How are you getting on?
Fine, thank you. Considering what's going on in the world, all is well.
Absolutely. I mean, you started 2020 in absolutely top form with what in any normal year would have been an award-winning snap from the punch for the red card for France against Scotland at BT Murrayfield. Dave, for us normal human beings, let's say, for us muggles, what's the key to being in the right place at the right time to produce some of the images that you've brought to us down the years?
Good question, that. A lot of it's luck. Just being in the right place at the right time, but also knowing the sport as well helps. I never used to know the sport. I sort of fell into it in 1980. I went on the Lions tour, my first Lions tour, and got a clue about rugby. I was a football man, and just fell in love with the sport and the people involved in it. And it's things like that help you pay off in the end. I've done so much of it, and you get used to it. But you do need the luck as well to go your way.
And the round ball had its Champions League from 1992 and a European Cup for almost four decades before that. As rugby started to turn professional, we then had the start of the Heineken Cup. I mean, cast your minds back and how did the media fraternity react to the start of this new tournament?
I think looking back at the very first one in Cardiff and Toulouse-Cardiff, wasn't it, if I remember right?
That's right,
yes. Went to extra time, which was amazing. The first one, it went to extra time. Very few people there, I remember that. Very few media, few spectators considering. And how much it's grown and how much we love the tournament. No, it's fantastic.
What challenges did the tournament present to you and the other photographers as logistically you were kind of making your way around Europe to see some of these big matches?
Yeah, well, in those days, going back that far, it was before digital days. So it was all film. And the biggest problem we ever used to get was when we used to go to France, quite regular happened this in France, is that we had to mix the chemicals in a room, a press room somewhere, and try and get a corner to get mix the chemicals, get the right temperature. They're quite critical. They have to be the right temperature. And then I'd have an assistant to come and process the films while I shot the game. But the problem was getting into the press room early enough to set the chemicals up, because particularly in France, they'd say, oh, we're going for lunch. And we were back 15 minutes before kickoff, which is not enough time to get ready. So it was always crazy trying to find the press officer guy to come and open the press room to get set up for us. That was always the biggest thing in France. That always seemed to happen.
How has the digital era changed the task, let's say, for not just for you, but I mean, if you go to a final, there's quite often more than 40 photographers accredited. How has the change in the technology changed the way that you approach your working day in the Heineken Champions Cup?
Well, it's totally changed the deadlines. I mean, quite funny, the deadlines were later in the old days. You could get pictures in quite late and they still get used in the paper. And now they seem to want it as soon as the incidents happen, which obviously is online stuff as well. So that's why they need it so quickly. The biggest problem you still get, the bigger grounds are okay generally, but the smaller ones, you have problems with the old comms, trying to get the picture away from either your laptop or your camera to wherever they've got to go to. I always go to, when we're doing rugby in Europe, always go to London and sort of caption there. Some guy's sitting on one of our editors was sitting there watching the screen and putting the right caption on it, which we've told them what to put on and dictated into the back of the camera. But the problem is, it's still the comms. And when you get 40, 50,000 people in a stadium, everyone on the phone these days taking pictures or sending texts or whatever, hogging all the bandwidth, It's so difficult sometimes to get a picture out.
Obviously, with the pressure that you have as representing Getty Images, with sort of the reputation for quality and speed and efficiency that you have, I mean, what kind of competition does it create for you with other photographers? And I mean, as a group, how do you all get on?
Yeah, I think we all get on really well, considering we're all against each other, if that makes sense. Oh, yeah, well, we get on really well together. We'll travel around together if we can help each other out and give lifts and things like that and liaise with each other. There's no sort of animosity at all, really, considering that we are against each other and deadlines as well. When things used to go wrong, I remember this happening a couple of times, that people had ruined their films from a shoot and they had nothing. And we'd all chip in a few negs, you know, a few pictures so they could use. So he'd have something to send back to his employer. So we'd always look after each other.
When you go back to those early days, you mentioned the first final in Cardiff. Did you feel it start to pick up some energy as the English clubs came in the second season and Leicester Tigers got to the final then against Brive back in Cardiff? And then the Bath victory in that incredible game against Brive in Bordeaux back in 1998. Did you start to feel some kind of momentum around the tournament back then?
Yeah, it needed the English teams in there, didn't it? If it's going to be a European Cup, you can't have it without the English teams or any other team from the other big teams in Europe. So when they all joined in, it was just made it so much better. And also it created, obviously, more publicity. You know, the bigger market is France and England. And once you get all those teams involved, the media get involved and they start to enjoy their little trips to France. And we had some great times, especially the early days when there's a bit more socialising going on, shall we say. Those French trips were fantastic.
There are some great stories of the Bath side in 1998. I think they were looking for a place in Bordeaux to eat after that thrilling victory in 1918 against the European champions Brive. And I think Andy Nicol it was who tells the story of taking the trophy into McDonald's in Bordeaux because it was the only place that they could find open, and it was a waltz in with the European Cup. I guess there are plenty of stories like that from sort of the early days, let's say, of the Heineken Cup.
Yeah, well, remember the first one, they didn't even have a proper trophy, if you remember those days. You're far too young, Martin, you might remember those days. I think one of the, Johnny Armstrong, one of my colleagues from Heineken in those days, he went out to, he had to go and find a trophy in the week or something before the final, because no one had thought about getting a trophy made.
Absolutely brilliant to see Emil and Tamak back in Cardiff during the season launch this season with that actual first trophy that we've managed to recover from Toulouse, obviously. It was great to see the smile that he had on his face during that period. We've mentioned the digital era, and you kind of touched upon the point there about sort of 50,000 people taking images from their iPhones and stuff like that. How has all of that changed the way that you approach the quest for the best images from pitch side?
It doesn't really affect us too much if you're talking about general public taking photos on their phones, because they get a different angle to us. They're far away and the phones aren't up to the quality yet of our cameras. But I would say the digital age is just incredible. It's revolutionized the whole thing, really. Years ago, we used to have to knock on people's doors near stadiums to go and ask them and pay them a few quid to actually let us use their sort of bathroom or kitchen as a dark room. Yeah, imagine doing that, just walking up to somebody's house now, especially what's going on there, you probably wouldn't get in. It's just incredible. You used to rely on knocking on doors. We used to be there 3 or 4 hours before a match starts to try and find somewhere to transmit our pictures from. All a bit mad, really, but crazy days.
Well, we've seen you actually in the stadium. We've seen you pitch side all over Europe at matches. How do you work out where your optimum position is going to be, and who decides basically what the setup is going to be at all of these different grounds with different dimensions all across the continent?
Yeah, well, they're all, as you know, they're all different, totally different, different working areas, different space behind the dead ball areas and things like that. There's quite a few things that sort of make up your mind. If you are covering, in my case, say, mostly the English team to start with, so the first half I'll probably do the English team no matter what, really, because if it's a smaller team playing away, they've got a chance of getting a few points in the first half, but normally get sort of beaten in the second half. And also the light, if the sun's out, it makes a big difference where you sit for shadows and things like that. It's all those little things you have to take on board in advance and just study it all out. But every ground is different. You don't really know until you get there. Luckily, we've been to all these grounds now, you know, more than one occasion. So you can actually work out where's the best place to sit generally. And also where the best signal you can get on the Wi-Fi, if there is such a thing as that in the stadium. Makes all a big difference to us.
We've mentioned about those early finals, but as we got into the noughties, there were some thrillers as well. There was the low-scoring game between Northampton and Munster at Twickenham, and then the thrilling late finish with the Leon Lloyd try for Leicester against Stade Francais. I mean, as you look back on attending every single one of the 24 finals in what is now the Heineken Champions Cup, what are your best memories as a professional, but also as a fan of sport and a lover of sport as well?
Right, you've mentioned the two I'm going to mention. Yes, thank you, Martin. Cheers, you stole my thunder there. But the professional wise, the one in Paris, Leicester, Leon Lloyd scoring that try, that was a great game, fantastic game. I love that one, and I quite like Leicester Tigers, even though I take the Mickey out of them all the time, because I'm a Saints fan, and to be at Twickenham that day, it wasn't the best of games, but it was a bit tense. But the thing I always remember about that one was in the media room before the match when, unfortunately, I didn't actually see it, but I've seen the video since, of Peter O'Toole and Richard Harris getting absolutely sloshed in the media tent and rolling about on the floor, two big Munster fans, having a great time. And I missed all that because I was on the pitch doing something else. I forget what it was, but... something mundane compared with that, I should think. That'd been really good to see. And then, unfortunately, we lost to Leinster in that great match at Millennium when we were well in the lead at half-time and they came back to thrash in the second half. So, ups and downs of sport, eh?
Absolutely. I mean, you've mentioned quite a few individual experiences, starting out with the Lions in 1980. And within that context, I guess, what is now the Heineken Champions Cup mean to you, to Dave Rogers?
I actually adore it. I think it's fantastic. I enjoy travel anyway. I'm quite often seen driving around, certainly France, trying to get as many games in a weekend as I can. I think my record is 4. Well, obviously Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. I've done 4 in France in 1 week, in weekend, a long weekend. It's a challenge, you know. It's a challenge for them. It's a bit of a challenge for us as well to get around to these different venues. And if it works out, it works out well. But if it doesn't, you can be left stranded somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Thank heaven for sat-nav these days, because the number of Michelin maps I've gone through in the early days, oh, never again.
I'm going to put you on the spot now and ask you that from a quarter of a century of not just the tournament, but Getty Images as well. What is the greatest image that you have taken from the tournament, and what makes it so special to you?
I knew you were going to ask that. And let's think. I love the end, the last 5 minutes of the match. I love, because the tension builds up. It builds, especially if it's a close game. Tension builds up in the crowd, builds up in the players. You can see that, any sort of incident. But I love the end, the final whistle, when you see the celebrations when they all kick in, they've won it, or disillusionment when they've lost it. I think probably the best one, though, the best sort of action shot, I suppose, of mine. I like the one of Chris Ashton scoring for Saracens at Murrayfield a couple of years ago. One of his Ash Splash ones right in front of me.
Maul dragged down by Clermont. What can Saracens do to exploit it? Driven through by Good. Ashton chasing! Ashton scoring! That was magnificent from Saracens! A vital try for the defending champions, and a very significant one in the life of Chris Ashton. He's now left Vincent Clerc behind and stands alone at the top of the European Cup try-scoring charts.
I've been after a really good picture of Ash doing the splash, and I've missed him two or three times with England. He always seemed to run away from me. I got him once in the World Cup, but the one in the Heineken Cup final up there, the European Champions Cup final, was fantastic. He'd drive straight towards me. I still owe him a drink for that one. I keep on seeing him occasionally, take that Mickey. But the celebrations at the end, I love doing the presentations because everyone is different. Some are better organised than others. We've had a couple of occasions where normally on quite a long lens and we're 20 metres away from the podium. But a couple of times it's sort of slightly gone wrong when the crowd have run on the pitch. I remember the one in the Lansdowne Road in the old days when Ulster won it and the crowd ran on the pitch and it was absolutely chaos. And I left a colleague of mine with my gear right next to the tunnel by the ground. And I said, you stand there next to the large TV camera, you'll be fine. And I went in the crowd and did the presentation. It was in the stands in those days, the president's box. I turned around to find out where my friend Keith was. and he just appeared from this sea of bodies and feet. He'd been trampled to death. The camera was turned on its side. The RTE cameraman was going mad because he'd probably lost about, you know, £100,000 camera smashed. It was just chaos, but that's what makes it brilliant.
I was about to ask about the presentation, because that the word that you used, chaos, is exactly how it looks. I mean, as a photographer, do you prefer the on the pitch stuff, or do you prefer it to be in the stands with the fans surrounding it all? I mean, I guess that both provide pretty significant challenges for you.
I think it's actually better on the podium. I quite enjoy that. It depends. Some stadiums are really good up in the stands, but a lot of them aren't. They're much better if they're on the podium. You get further away. You get better access, and everyone can see. If it's just a few of us in front of it, I always feel sorry for the other photographers who can't actually get access to it. But if it's in the middle of the pitch, we all get a good shot of it, and that's what really counts in the end, isn't it, for all of us?
Do you still have the same enjoyment, the same motivation from a day at a European match that you had back in 1995, 96, when it all kicked off?
Yeah, I'm sad, aren't I? Yeah, I still enjoy it. I really do. I think you've got to be. I think you have to enjoy it, or you wouldn't do it, because you're away from your family, and you know, away from my wife a lot. Unfortunately, when these things, although she comes with me occasionally on these gigs, if you don't enjoy it, you wouldn't do it. You still get a kick out of it. You still get a kick out of getting a good photo. We still enjoy the games. I love watching the game. You know, when I retire, which is not too long away, I don't suppose, but I should be down the Saints and throwing abuse at the photographers for getting in my way this time instead of the other way around. And things like that, I just enjoy it, yeah. It's a great life. I've got good friendship with people like yourself and journalists. I get on well with the journalists and other media guys, the TV guys, and the players, hopefully. Although you don't get to know the players like you used to, obviously, but things have changed slightly in that respect. But the odd one or two you get to know quite well, and they're good guys.
It's a quarter of a century of the tournament. It's also a quarter of a century for Getty Images. How has the organisation changed over that period of time? Obviously, we know that it's not just about the still image anymore, but there seems to be so many areas of the organisation. I mean, how has Getty changed over a quarter of a century?
Oh, massively changed for the better. I must admit, it is an incredible company to work for. We're everywhere, which is fantastic. The professionalism is amazing. I've been lucky enough to do a few Olympic Games, but only one for Getty Images, because I've obviously been away doing other stuff. And when I went to the Olympics last time in Rio and meet the people there I work with from the States and Australia and other places like that, the professionalism is incredible. The planning that goes into these events, you just can't imagine what goes into it. And when you actually see it all work and how quickly they can get photos out, I mean, one of our guys, Cameron Spencer, you're quite famous photo of Usain Bolt when he won his 100-meter sprint. And there's a big race between the athletes. There's also a big race between the major agencies to get the picture out as quick as you can. And I think he got it out in sort of fractions of seconds. It was just like 9 seconds after the event had happened, the picture had gone. And it's just incredible how the speed of these things and the professionalism and the planning that goes into that. And hopefully we're the same in rugby as well.
How much do you get the chance to look at what other people are doing in your field? I mean, do you get the chance to analyse what your rivals are doing and really get a sense for the industry sort of wider than the images that you take from a rugby match?
Yes, you do keep an eye on them. I'm a sort of part of the game, I suppose. I don't tend to copy what they've done. If they've done something that I thought was really good, I'll just sort of give them a bit of praise and say, well done. I won't really go and copy it the next week, hopefully. I may do it the next year, but not right away. I might keep your powder dry for a bit, but they've forgotten about it. But no, we keep an eye on each other. And as I said before, I think we all get on really well together, considering we're actually deadly rivals.
You mentioned the Chris Ashton try at Murrayfield and the final for Saracen's second win against Clermont-Auvergne up there in 2017. I think that was either a record-equaling or a record-breaking try in the European Cup at the time. Is there a favourite photograph that you have from a rival photographer from the Heineken Champions Cup?
Cool. That's a tough one, isn't it? Throw me the curveball, please. Thinking about it, I think it was 2004. Rob Howley dives on the ball in the last seconds of the match to score a try to win the match for Wasps. Potrano thought it was going into touch. It didn't go into touch. Rob Ailey jumped on it, scored the winning try, happened right in front of me, missed it. I won't tell you I missed it because it's embarrassing. I missed it. And my good friend who was right next to me, David Davis from PA, got it. And it got used everywhere. And I was gutted and he took the mickey out of me from, I'd say months, but it probably went on for years.
80 minutes means 80 minutes on the clock. Remember, and Halley is going down the line.
What has Poitrineau done? He's waited for the ball to go. Howley will not give the cause up. It's infield. It's a try. It is a try.
There isn't a photographer around who's not missed something. So if any photographer says they have not missed a big incident, they are lying. We all do it.
Regarding the Heineken Champions Cup in particular, is there still a particular shot that you want to capture, or... From this perspective, do you feel like you've seen it all from the tournament over 25 years?
You've definitely not seen it all because things always happen that aren't planned. It can always change, can't it? I mean, I remember poor old Martin Williams, but I never expected to see penalty kick out or shootout in the semi final in Millennium, and I never thought I'd see it. And it was so tense. I mean, no way I would have taken a penalty. And he bravely went up there and the little devil missed. And he's a great player and probably remembered a lot for that there. But if you think you've seen it all, you might as well pack it in because you haven't. I'll go back to this, what's going on in the world at the moment. Who would have thought this would be around the corner? But so you never know what is around the corner. So keep trying and keep enjoying the game.
Martin Williams joined us on the last edition of the Champions Rugby Show podcast, and he said I've played over 80 matches in the tournament, and that's probably my legacy, which was a little bit unfair after all that he's achieved in the game.
Not just for, I've just proved for I'm in.
You're probably right. It's certainly, sorry, certainly a very very memorable match, and one that especially in this period of downtime when we've been getting all nostalgic about all kinds of sport, really, it's one that I know has even been enjoyed on the Cardiff Blues channels these days as well. A semi-final that of course they lost. Dave, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thank you very much for sharing all of your recollections from 25 years of not just Getty Images history, but also of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup. Stay safe. Thanks very much, Bob.
And you, Marty. Good to speak to you too. See you soon.
Absolutely fascinating to catch up with Dave Rogers. There can't be many who can say that they have been to all 24 finals of what is now the Heineken Champions Cup, taking us right back to the start, not just of the tournament, but also of Getty Images and how the industry has developed in capturing the iconic images that we attached to the greatest club rugby tournament in the world. Please subscribe to our Champions Rugby Show podcast. Plenty more on the way very shortly. And let us know which characters you want to come on the show next to share their memories of the last quarter of a century. From me and all the team, until next time, goodbye.